Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. This year, SDPB is celebrating the people, places, and experiences that make our state unique in the Landscapes of South Dakota series. And today, as part of that series, Dakota Midday is broadcasting from Mitchell. We're in the City Hall offices here at the Corn Palace. The world's only Corn Palace is currently going through some remodeling, but still open. And we'll hear about some of those remodeling efforts coming up in the future of the Corn Palace. And a little bit later this hour, we'll hear about how the corn industry grew into something of a mega industry, and we'll learn about the development of corn hybrids. But first, although the first image that comes to mind when thinking of corn is a freshly buttered ear, most corn doesn't make it to the dinner table. Whole kernel sweet corn is only about 1% of the crop. The rest of it is field corn. Some of it is processed for food ingredients, but it's primarily used as livestock feed and ethanol. As demand for renewable fuel has grown in recent years, South Dakota has emerged as the fifth largest ethanol producing state with over a dozen fuel ethanol plants. Joining us now to discuss the use of corn as both food and fuel is Dean Fredrickson. He's the general manager of Poet Biorefining Plant in Chancellor. And Dean, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Lewis Bainbridge, who farms with his son Matt near Ethan. And Lewis, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Well, to start off talking about biofuel, that industry, how long has that been, Dean, in a part of South Dakota?
Oh, it's been in South Dakota for about 20 years, a little over that when the smaller facility started being built. And has developed from there into a real foundation and market for corn here in the state.
And what is the relationship between Poet and the other ethanol plants, refiners, with the farmers in the state?
Well, several of the Poet plants are farmer-owned, too. They're owners of the plants. It's a partnership. And we provide a market for the corn and a good stable market. We produce ethanol, and a lot of people don't realize, but we produce a lot of distiller's grains to the tune of 300,000 tons a year here in South Dakota, and that is used for livestock feed and is an extremely important part of our business, and also to the producers, too, so they can feed their livestock.
And Lewis Bainbridge, how long have you been involved in the bio industry as a corn producer?
Yes, I have. In days gone by, I helped get the corn checkoff started in South Dakota and served on that board for 9 years. So that's when the brewing companies came to South Dakota, at Scotland, South Dakota, and we were kind of in on the ground floor helping them get their feet under them and get started. And obviously the rest is history, a huge success story. And we personally are involved with some small ownership portions of a number of the ethanol plants, and we actually do deliver corn to the Poet plant here in Mitchell, as well as occasionally feed the livestock feed that also.
And how has that changed the corn industry and the farm, the ag industry in South Dakota?
Well, a number of things have changed here. Obviously, the livestock industry and the demand for the corn has changed, and the yields that we can get from our corn now are much different than they were when I started farming. And so the whole industry has changed dramatically, and the ethanol is certainly a huge part of that.
Well, take us back to what farming was like when you were starting out. How different are things now?
Well, as I look back, my earliest memory was with my dad, and I actually helped pick corn a little bit by hand. So, obviously things have changed a great deal, as not only just the yields, but our cultural practices growing the corn, and the genetics have just done a phenomenal increase in yield and so forth. So cultural practices have changed. We've been no-till for 20 years, and the whole industry has changed and grown dramatically.
And how about when you look at the future of your farming operation? You farm with your son. I'm assuming there's also other generations coming up
Yes, farm. I actually have two sons that farm with mm-hmm. us, and we're very blessed to have two little granddaughters that live across the road. So that would be generation five in our little spot on earth. So we're hopeful that we can do the best that we can and want to be sustainable along the way and make it available and hopefully a little bit better for the next generation.
Well, Dean Fredrickson, we talk about sustainability and being stewards of the land. I'm wondering from a poet's perspective, I understand that there's a certain green perspective in the way that Poet runs operations with the way that you're looking to the future.
That's correct. One thing we have done and through the time I've been with Poet is reduced our consumption of energy inputs, also water usage. And so we continue to reduce and become more efficient at the production of ethanol. We use all the plant, the corn kernel when we process it. One thing I think a lot of people don't know nowadays is we make an awful lot of corn oil too. We extract corn oil that's used for biodiesel and animal feed also. So we really are a multi-product industry, and especially at Poet plants. At Poet plants, we don't cook the corn like a lot of ethanol plants do, and that reduced our energy consumption by about 15%. So we continue to reduce that. Also, like my plant in Chancellor, we have a solid fuel boiler where we burn recycled pallets. And so that would go to the landfill did we not use them. And also we use landfill gas from the Sioux Falls landfill to produce ethanol.
I'd like to ask you, Dean Ferguson, just a basic question of how this, you know, how this whole process works from the beginning. I mean, not all the, you know, not all the science, but just, you know, the farmer comes with the corn. What happens when all, you know, once it gets to a Poet plant?
Well, what we do is we of course like good corn. So we grade the corn. We turn around and we grind it with a hammer mill, mix it with water. The water is all recycled back from the process. At that point, we add enzymes to convert the starch into sugars and add yeast. The fermentation process takes and turns the slurry mixture into alcohol and liquid feed, essentially. At that point, we distill the alcohol out of it. We centrifuge and the solids out of it for feed, extract oil. And in the end, we have all our co-products that we sell to the markets. In South Dakota, we produce about 1 billion gallons of ethanol and about 3 million tons of animal feed a year. So it's a huge source of protein for the livestock producers in South Dakota. And then also we ship as far as Mexico and overseas too with our product.
And how much, how long does this take, you know, the basic process, when you go through all this that you just talked about?
Well, when you grind the corn, it takes about roughly 80 hours before we actually produce the ethanol. And when we release a batch of beer, we call it, mm-hmm. It's a very high alcohol content, about roughly 20% alcohol, which is a lot stronger than the beer you're used to possibly drinking as a beverage.
What happens when you have years when there's a drought and you're not getting as much, the yield isn't as great, there aren't so many bushels being produced?
Well, we actually had that last year, and typically in the United States, you'll have pockets with less production. And I'm lucky, I work for a fairly large company that has great resources, and so we sourced corn from other areas. And at Chancellor, we really were short of corn, but we brought in unit trains of corn from other areas via rail and unloaded those and processed that corn instead. So it's the United States grows a lot of corn, and you've just got to have the technology and the creativeness to bring it to your facility.
Lewis Bainbridge, for your farming operation, how much is it corn?
We grow basically three crops, corn, soybeans, and wheat. So we're probably not quite half corn, but we grow quite a bit of corn because we do have a livestock business also. So we feed a lot of that directly to the livestock, as well as deliver some to the Poet plant here in Mitchell and market some elsewhere also.
Has the amount of corn that you grow changed over the years, or is it basically market demand?
It certainly has. I look back on my farming career, historically we bought corn because we had more livestock than we raised corn, but we have shifted that around a little bit now, so we actually have to market some corn too. So I personally like to see the livestock business in this part of the world, because that's our basic value-added product. It makes a lot of sense to ship out a boatload of pork versus a whole bunch of soybeans and corn and so forth. But we certainly need that balance with the ethanol industry as well as the livestock business.
So you don't see the ethanol business as taking away corn that would be used for livestock?
No, it actually enhances what we do with the livestock, because as Dean explained, you just utilize the starch portion of the corn. You have the protein portion left over. And as you look at the world population, we're not short on starch, but we are short on protein. So we do have the protein left over, and actually it's an enhanced protein product too.
One of the you know, debates, or I suppose controversies, over using corn for fuel is that whole balance of food versus fuel. But Dean Frederickson, in hearing you talk about what happens at Poet, it isn't really one or the other, but just different ways of utilizing the corn?
That's correct. The corn, the starch portion of the corn is the only part we use. The protein, fiber, and fat is left over. So we separate the starch off, make ethanol. And a lot of people don't realize it, but really ethanol is the only practical means there is to store solar power, because the corn crop, it goes ahead and converts the solar energy into the kernel and into the plant. Well, we make ethanol, and you can store ethanol. There's no other practical way to store solar power in this country. So in the corn kernel, you can store solar power, and then also in ethanol. And it's the only practical liquid fuel on the planet that's derived from plants.
Is there, what is the future for the ethanol industry exploring other plant material, the various grasses and native grasses in particular? Is this something that's an option in the future?
Yes, it is. And Poet's done a lot of research, and is currently the main plant is starting up in Emmitsburg, Iowa, for cellulosic ethanol. We're moving that forward. It's been a tough nut to crack, because the cellulose part of the ethanol plant is like the skeleton, and so it's tougher to break down into basic components to ferment. Well, we've done a lot of work, and we're ready, and also the infrastructure to handle the large bulk of corn cobs and that sort of residuals from corn. We've had to develop a whole system of material handling to do that. So it's been a lot of work, a lot of research, and I think we're going to be a great success at it in the next step. I think corn is going to be a part of that still. I think corn is such an efficient plant due to hybridization, and the American farmer is amazing as to how well they can grow corn. So I see it as a mix of feedstocks going forward, with the cellulose becoming more and more a part of that.
Well, talking about growing corn, Lewis Bainbridge, has the basic practices of corn stayed the same, or has it changed some ways?
We've changed our cultural practices somewhat. We're now on very narrow rows. When I started farming, we were on 36-inch rows. Presently, we're on 20, so we capture more of the sunlight that Dean mentioned here. So, yes, some of the cultural practices have changed. The genetics have changed immensely. Last year, when I started planting corn, I had to figure out what to do with my hands, because we now incorporate auto steer and variable rate technology and incorporate cover crops in there. So the cultural practices have changed, but the corn plant is similar. Just that it's so much better than it used to be. So it's a very fun occupation to be involved in, and we totally enjoy it.
Well, it sounds like the technology has, we're talking about when you were a young farmer, the technology has changed so much. where what, you know, GPS and don't have to do it. Things are so much more precise than there used to be.
Certainly are. We're much more cognizant of what we're doing in the environment. Also, we personally on our farm, variable rate fertilizer, variable rate plant corn, and a whole array of things that were unheard of when I started farming, as well as a no-till. We started out as minimum till and have been no-till now for about 20 years.
What do you see as the future of corn in your operation?
We're going to continue growing it and incorporating in with that the use of some more cover crops and a little more rotation, and hopefully being able to minimize the inputs that we put into growing a much better crop. And obviously the genetics are leading the way on that also.
When you say minimizing the inputs, what is that?
Fertilizers mm-hmm. and so forth, and being more precise with our applications and our the seeds that we utilize and so forth. So just doing a better job at what we do.
So really the efficiency is what's being improved.
Certainly is. Certainly is. So it's very bright as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so the future of farming and your operation in particular still
yep.
looks great. Good time to be a farmer.
It is a good time. Obviously, we'd like to extract a little more money from Dean for the corn, but I think we're okay.
Well, in looking at the future of the ethanol industry, I know there are proposals to reduce biofuel and renewable fuel standards. Does that hamper what you see for the future of the ethanol industry?
Well, I don't think so. I think the ethanol industry would like to see a stable platform from a government standpoint. The renewable fuel standard is just is saying that, look, we can't continue to use petroleum. It's a good thing to migrate to renewable fuels versus something that's been pumped out of the ground from a million years ago. I think that's good for the environment. It's sustainable. And if we keep the renewable fuel standard where it's at, it keeps us country pointed in the right direction.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday. Dean Fredrickson and Lewis Bainbridge, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Dean Fredrickson is general manager of the Poet Biorefining Plant in Chancellor, and Lewis Bainbridge farms with his family near Ethan.